Well, today we are looking at that real Corey that we could have a look. We are looking at this section here, serving communities near and far. And I think it has been already looked at, but I hope I can bring a different angle to it. So, but I will be deliberately repeating myself in some places, so please bear with me. So what does serving mean? The biblical meaning of serving is to give, to be available, to be there for people when they need us. And our prime example in serving is no other than Jesus himself. So he said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave." So two words stand out there, love and gave. So serving is loving and giving. And that's the end of my message. And now I'm going to hand over to Ian to finish the preach. Relax, Ian, I'm just kidding. So we have to love and give. Because you can give without love, but you can't love without giving. And that is why after listing the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, immediately in the Apostle Paul goes into chapter 13. And in chapter 12 he says, if I exercise all the spiritual gifts, actually that is in chapter 13, if I exercise all the spiritual gifts in serving and blessing people and do all the charity work and give to the point of becoming bankrupt myself, but if I do this without love, then it's pointless. And he ends chapter 12 by saying, now I will show you the most excellent way. And then he goes into chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, which is all about love, of course. So love has to be the motivating factor in all our serving, in all our giving. Because it's possible to... Is it possible? Is it possible to love everyone we meet? Is it? Well, if I'm honest, I find it a struggle. For we will come across people who are unlovable, rude, demanding, self-centered, aggressive, self-seeking, manipulative. Some will use you and spit you out. Annoying children that kick the ball in your garden 15 times a day and then come asking for it in an aggressive way. Those noisy neighbors, those playing music so loud they could perforate your eardrums. So how do we love these people? We really need to sort this issue of love before we even think of serving our communities. But this is where rubber meets the road. I know some of us are doing a fantastic job in serving our communities with love. But this is for anyone who wants to get involved. So according to ancient Greek, there are 8 different kinds of love. But in our situation, we are looking at agape love, which is unconditional love of God. And this love is not a feeling, it's an act of will. Just as forgiving is an act of will, we have to forgive because we have no choice. So it is, love is a decision. And after all, God loved us when we were unlovable, steeped in our sins, yet he was willing to come down to this earth and live among sinful men. Yet God was willing to send his pure, holy, righteous Son so that we could be saved. So we learn through this love of God that the best way to love is to give without expecting the same in return. God set the standard for loving, love that demands nothing, absolutely nothing, in return. And the most common love language is the words of affirmation. Because when we affirm people, rather than criticizing them, We are digging gold out of them. And this is when people change from the inside out. Now let's look at how we can serve communities with this agape love. So that was just the introduction. So the first point is, the most important way of serving our communities through the ministry of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 19, we read, "All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ." So in all we do, our goal has to be to reconcile people to God. Okay, that's the main aim of serving people. Because he's the only one who's able and capable of meeting all human needs, whether they are spiritual, emotional, psychological, physical, relational, and all else. We are just tools in his hands. We are his voice, his hands, and his feet in the community. We work in partnership with God. But without him, we can do everything. Yes? We can do nothing. We are the taste of God in the community. And as such, the only true witness of God's abiding love and his presence. So reconciling people with God is the starting point, which is looking on the face of Jesus. And then all else that we read there, love everyone and live like heaven is near, that will all fall into place after that first step. Matthew 28:19-20 reads, "Therefore, go into all the nations, go into all the worlds and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you to the very end of the age." So, church's job description is to bring about spiritual revolution through ministry of reconciliation, to change the face of the earth by changing its neighborhoods, its communities, its towns, and its cities, to build stable communities that reveal the love of God to all, one person at a time. And you might be thinking, one person at a time? What difference is that going to make when there's thousands and millions of unsaved people? I'm just going to share this story of a little boy. He was walking along the beach. And there were these starfish washed up on the beach. He was picking these starfish and throwing them back into the sea. And a man saw him do that, and he came to him and said, "Little boy, why are you wasting your time? Because there are thousands of them. So it's not going to make any difference to what you're doing." At that point, the little boy bent down, picked up another starfish, threw it back into the sea, and he said, "It made a difference to that one." So let's make that difference. To the world, you may be just one person, but to that one person, you may be the whole world. Acts 26:70 reads, "I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God." So everything we do and in our communities has to flow out of a desire to reconcile people with God. For once they are reconciled to God, reconciliation will follow between families, between community groups, and restoration process will begin in the land. And the whole land will change from ashes to beauty. Furthermore, the inness of just one group at the expense of the rest is not the true story of God so loved the world. Above all, Jesus is the most exciting, thrilling person, and we need to let people know how it is possible to have a living relationship with him. This relationship is so wonderful, so fulfilling. As we have been singing this morning, "I can't go where I can't let go of this love." And I think each one of us here, we can put our hand on our heart and say, "If I had a million lives to live, I would live them all for Jesus." Wouldn't you? For there is no other God like him. He gave it all. And we need to share that with other people. Our task is to make Jesus visible, intelligible, and desirable to our communities. Isn't he desirable? Absolutely. So I'd like to like us to look at these three words up here. Corey, please. Salt, magnet, and light. What is a common thread between the three? Yes, they all end in T. But there's more to it. Whose description is those three words? Who do these words describe? Us, absolutely. Thank you. We are the salt, and our job is to make other people thirsty for God. We are a magnet drawing people, other people to God. Light showing the way to God. And we are not alone in this process. Notice the last sentence of Matthew 28:20. And I am with you always. God will always go with us when we match our heart's desire with his. Yeah? We can't go our own way and expect God to come our way. We have to go his way. Secondly, we can serve our communities by using our spiritual gifts. And in the prayer meeting, Ian was encouraging us to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God has given his church gifts of the Holy Spirit to edify the church, edify each other, and to edify our communities. In Acts 12, we read that these gifts are given for common good. These powerful gifts are tools to use to bring realization that God is at work in our midst. To change situations, to change circumstances, to change lives. I'm going to touch on just a few of these gifts just as an example. Because Dorothy did a fantastic job 2 weeks ago, didn't she? So the gifts we can use in our communities could be word of wisdom. This is to know how to respond in given situation. One example, King Solomon. We all know the story when these two women came to King Solomon with the living child. And his answer and solution was absolutely fantastic. Jesus responded with words of wisdom when tempted by Satan. Word of wisdom is not natural wisdom, nor is it wisdom gained by academic achievement. Or life experience, or logic, or reasoning. It is a supernatural gift given by God to the believers. Anyone can have it if you desire it. Can you imagine people in the community coming to us for wise answers for their complicated situations? That would be great, wouldn't it? I'm sure Mary, and when you run the job club, you use that. Word of knowledge. This is not human knowledge, nor is it it is intellect. It is fragment of God's knowledge imparted to us by the Holy Spirit. Fragment, I say, because God's knowledge is so vast, we cannot cope with it. So he gives a little bit of his knowledge to us through this gift. Now, Jesus knew details about Nathanael even before he met him. Also, when Jesus met the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, he was able to tell her her past. And her response was, "Now I know that you are a prophet," because he used the gift of knowledge. Ananias was given many details about Saul before he even met him. Imagine giving people their life details without having met them before. Now I'm going to use some personal examples. And please understand, this is not about me. This is about the Holy Spirit. And to know that we do not have to be super duper high-flying, ministry people. God uses just common people like us. In Acts 4:13, we read that when Peter and John were brought before the Sanhedrin for healing a lame man, they were questioned by these old leaders and high position people. But Peter spoke filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were astonished when they realized they were unschooled, ordinary men. So God will use us, whether we are schooled or unschooled or ordinary or extraordinary people. So in my previous church, how many have heard of Randy Clark? Yeah? So he came to the church, and there was going to be a big conference that Randy Clark was going to speak. But before the conference, he trained the ministry team in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And at the conference, after he spoke, he said to the ministry team, "Now go and minister to people." I was petrified, I have to admit. It was daunting. But the first person I went to pray for, I sensed that he had metal in his body. So I said to him, "Is there metal in your body?" And he says, "Yes, I was in a car crash two years ago, and I have these metal bars in my arms and in my legs." And then I moved on to the second one, because, see, to the conference, many people came from many different churches, off the streets, and people of other faith as well. So we didn't know who these people were, who we were ministering to, and what we were saying. So the next person I moved to, I went to pray for him, and I saw him as a little boy of about 8 and 9 on a bed, really stressed and crying. So I thought, how do I approach this? I couldn't say to him, "Were you abused as a child?" So I said, "Did anything happen when you were a child?" At that, he broke down. He fell to the floor. He started crying. And he said, "I was abused as a child." So I didn't think, as a woman, it was right for me to minister to him. So I asked two Christian guys from our church to minister to this man and pray with him. And then 1 year we went to Estonia on a mission trip. And as we preached to people, then we prayed for people. And this woman I went to pray with, she didn't speak English. I didn't speak her language. So I had to use an interpreter. And I just suddenly felt there was this pile of money over her head. So I said to her, "Are you in debt?" And she started crying. She says, "I'm in a big debt." And I felt the Holy Spirit was saying, "Say to her, God is going to cancel all your debts." And this last example I'm going to use, it's a very difficult one. In the previous church, this American, big American, well-known American preacher came to preach, and we had a conference. And I think it was the second day, and I was sitting in my seat, and the Holy Spirit said to me, "Say to this man, if you don't stop doing things in the secret, I will expose you." Now, can you imagine? What can you do with that kind of information? No. And I'm saying, rebuking Satan, "Get thee behind me. It's not God. It's not God. It's not me. It's Satan." But God said, the Holy Spirit said, "No, no, it's me." So it would have been foolish to run up to the platform and say to him, "Thus says the Lord," wouldn't it? And so I, after he stopped preaching, they called people forward for prayer, and almost the whole church went forward. And so this preacher started to pray for people on this side, and our senior pastor started to pray on the other side. When he came to me, I said to him, "I have to speak to you." He said, "What now?" And I said, "Yes, please, can I speak to you?" And so he says, "Let's go to the back of the church." And I shared with him what I felt the Holy Spirit has said to me. He said, "Florence, you could be way off beam, or you could be on beam. But leave it with me, and I will speak to him." The next day, I went into the church office, and when he heard my voice, he called me into his office. Believe me, I was shaking in my boots, and I'm thinking, what have I done? And he said, I spoke to him, and he broke down. He confessed things, and he asked God's forgiveness. So Never be afraid when you are prompted by the Holy Spirit to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes it can be us. It could be other voices. It could be God. When the Holy Spirit keeps on pounding, you know that it is the Holy Spirit. And then gift of Holy Spirit is healing. We all know and understand that God can use us to bring healing, physical, emotional, mental, and psychological healing to people in the community. Healing is a gift of compassion, because we feel compassion when we see people suffering, and we can bring this use this gift to bring healing to people. Gift of prophecy, we can prophesy words of encouragement and comfort to build people up, to lift them up, to bring joy to people in the community, inside and outside of the church. Gift of miracles, this gift can definitely make waves in the community. When we see limbs restored, cancers disappear, blind eyes open. In miracles, we see God's dunamis power. And Costas would pronounce it as dunamis. Yes? Dunamis power. His strength, his ability, his potencies, and his might and his capability. Then discernment of spirits. It's a supernatural ability to detect and distinguish the nature of the spirit that is at work. In Acts 16:17, we see and read that Apostle Paul and Silas, they were followed by a slave girl who was shouting after them and saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High." Nothing wrong in what she was saying, but the source of the information was demonic, and Paul sensed that and rebuked that spirit out of her. Serving gifts. This is a beautiful gift. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. We cannot go wrong in serving people. Gifts of encouragement. When we encourage people, we release God's potential in them. In my opinion, serving and encouraging people are the most gentle, kind, and loving gifts. And because these are behind the scenes, there's a greater reward in using them. Gift of administration, offering this gift to the church community as well as other charity people in the community who are serving the community. And through this gift, we can come to know other people when we are using this gift in the community. I wish we had time to explore more into these gifts, because using these gifts, our town can turn into Acts 2, where 3,000 people got saved in one single day. When someone we pray for on the streets of Slough or in Britwell, and as I said before, they get their legs back, the cancer disappears, the blind eyes are open, and the deaf can hear again without using their hearing aids. Church, that is what we are all about, to bring the kingdom of heaven on this earth in a powerful, miraculous way, to set the prisoners set free, open prison doors for the people of Slough, to bring God's presence in their midst. For we are the glory of God in this town. We are the light to the nations. We are the power of God to dispel darkness from this town, to drive out demonic spirits that are blinding people of this town. Jesus quoted this verse in Luke 4:18 when he stood up in a synagogue in Nazareth. And after reading it, he said, Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And this was exactly from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. The same spirit that was on Jesus has been poured on us as well. So we do all those things that Jesus has said that we are to do. So let's stand up and do our job. Let complacency depart from us. Let there be fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit on us. Let that fire be in us, that passion, that zeal for the kingdom of God, that we see powerful manifestations of God here in this nation once again. Just a cautious note here. In serving our communities, we always need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Jesus never allowed pressure from men or from religious leaders or even from his own family to do what they wanted him to do or to perform for them. We are not performers. We are to move by the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit in our communities. When his mother said to him at the wedding in Cana that they had run out of wine, Jesus' response was, "O woman, what has this to do with me? My hour has not yet come." So if Jesus didn't move outside of his appointed time, nor should we allow ourselves to move unless the Holy Spirit prompts us. Yeah? Or when his mother said came looking for him, and they couldn't get to him because of the crowds. And when he was told that your family are looking for him, his response was, "My family are those who hear God's word." He wasn't being rude. He identified family not in nuclear terms, but in kingdom terms. For the kingdom was more important to him than earthly relationships. So, or even when he was a little boy and he stayed behind in Jerusalem, and his parents said to him, "Why did you do this to us?" His response was, "I must be about my father's business." Jesus always said, "I only do what I see my father do." So sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, "Go." He will give us the green light. Other times he will say, "Wait." This is because he's working behind the scenes to put things in place for you or to prepare someone's heart to receive. In some situation, he would prohibit you to go to certain places or certain people. And this is hard to understand. But in Matthew 2, we read about the Magi when they ended up in Herod's palace, thinking they will find King Jesus there. But they did not know that Herod had murderous intentions towards Jesus. So the Holy Spirit stepped in and said to them, "Do not go back to him. Go home another way." In Acts 16, 6 to 10, we read that Paul and his companions passed through Phrygia and Galatia intending to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. It was on Paul's heart to preach in Asia because he'd been there before, Asia Minor, which is Turkey now. But the Holy Spirit directed them to Macedonia, and the Holy Spirit turned their attention to Europe before Asia. So throughout the book of Acts, the pivotal moments are described as coming from the Holy Spirit. In this case, God's strategy for evangelism was Europe before Asia. But I think it was more about obedience and trusting God for his plans, for he sees the bigger picture. We simply cannot do our own thing. We have to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. And then recognizing our gifts. It is important to know our gifting and be bold enough to exercise them, to move in them. And as I said before, it could be daunting sometimes, but as we move into them, we become more confident. And God is not pleased when we bury our talent in the sand. The seeds that remain in the packet, they never grow into flowers to give pleasure to anyone. Yeah, we have to move in the right gifting for us. And because if we are forced into a gifting that is not our gifting, we can struggle. But it's trying to place or put a square peg into a round hole. And so Peter and his companions, they worked hard all night to catch fish. But they didn't catch any while they fished on the wrong side of the boat. It's only when Jesus turned up and told them to fish on the right side of the boat, they caught a big, big load of fish. David, when he offered to fight Goliath, King Saul dressed him in his own armor, and he tried it on, tried to walk in it, and he said, now I can't go in these because I'm not used to these. So he took his staff, his sling, and 5 stones from the stream and went and killed Goliath with that. So we have to move in the right gifting for us. Sometimes what we do might seem like a good idea, but might not be God's idea. Can you imagine me as a worship leader? People. People ask me if I can sing, and I say, yes, I can sing, and they pay me to stop. So, and if they're polite, they put their headphones on. So we see with the right gifting come authority, right attitude, and assurance and power. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one, and He determines which gift for who. The Holy Spirit sovereignly determines which gifts to give us and the level of revelation that we can handle. Because under the weight of too much revelation, we can just go under. So, let's involve other people in our ministry. A solo flight is lonely and cumbersome. Jesus chose 12 disciples to work with him. Apostle Paul had Silas, Barnabas, Mark, John, Luke, and many other people in his team. Working together teaches us tolerance, rubs off rough edges from us, provides safety when we are dealing with people. We encourage each other when disappointments and discouragement sets in. When Peter and his companion caught a big fish, they asked for help from other fishermen. So it would be great to see all the churches working together in this area, in Slough, because after all, we are all in the same business, and our aim is to bring people to God, to bring people into His kingdom. Prayer is the most powerful tool we can use to serve our community. James 15:16 tells us that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. That's where we get the name for our prayer group, Powerful Effective Prayer. Another version of this verse says the effective prayer of a righteous man or a woman accomplishes much. So in all we wish to accomplish in our communities, prayer has to be the starting point. In prayer, we get guidance and seek out what is on our Father's heart. Dr. A.T. Pearson once said, there has never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locality that did not begin in united prayer. Revival history tells us that behind every revival, there were prayer for people praying the revival in, like such as Azusa Street or Welsh Revival. And the wind of this revival reached many, many nations. And when people heard about this revival, they got praying, and revival brought thousands of people into the kingdom of God. Great revivalists like an evangelist such as John Wesley, George Whitfield, D.L. Moody, Charles Finney, they all experienced revival in their ministry through prayer. Bill Johnson in Dirty Glory said, wherever God is about to initiate a movement of His Spirit, He always begins by mobilizing His people to pray. Matthew 11:12 says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and the forceful men and women lay hold of it. And the forceful men and women are prayer warriors. And so I'm just going to skip the rest and say, yes, prayer is really, really essential and important for us. If we want to see revival come, if we want to see people come into the kingdom of God, then we have to start getting prayer into our lives. Well, whether you join a prayer group, whether you adopt a street and prayer walk a street, pray for your neighbors, pray for your community, and see the revival come in through prayer. And in prayer, we can see God's word become, that it becomes visible. Jesus, the word of God became visible when he took on human form and lived on this earth, bringing heaven down to this earth. In Genesis account, we see that when God spoke, things came into being and they became visible. And we can speak God's powerful word around us with authority in our communities and see that the word becomes visible in healings, miracles, salvations, and restoration of our community. As it is, God's word in our mouth is just as powerful as it is in God's mouth. So when Elijah raised the dead son of the widow of Zarephath, she said, "Now I know you are a man of God, and the word of the Lord is from your mouth is truth." And we want to see unsaved people coming into our meetings and be so hit by the tangible power and presence of God. Now, like on the day of Pentecost, they say, what can we do to be saved? We want to see Acts 2 happen all over again. So let's get praying, church. Pray for our neighborhoods, as I said, for our streets and everything, everyone we meet. So let's take prayer seriously and serve our communities with the best gift we can give and we can offer. Because when we pray, we invite the Holy Spirit into every situation that we face. So without the Holy Spirit of God, the love of God, the initiative of God, the salvation of God, the revelation of God, and the call of God, there would be no church. And the last, I have to skip because it's about practical involvement in our communities and how we can get ourselves involved in various things that are going on, or how we can serve our communities. And just to end, in everything we do, our motive has to be love working under the grace of God. In Ephesians 3:7, Apostle Paul says, "I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power." So the grace of God and the power of God would help us to be real servants of God in our community. To sum up, we can serve our communities through our ministry of reconciliation by using spiritual gifts, through prayer, through practical involvement in the community. And all this is summed up in two words: love and give.